This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. Do you know what is the most powerful muscle in the body? Well, a New Testament writer gives us the answer to that question and tells us how we can use it to better honor and glorify God. Join us this week on the Christian Crusaders radio program, which is heard each Sunday on this station.
I want to talk with you today about the most powerful muscle in your body and how you might use it to better glorify and honor God. Stay with us. Let us pray. Immortal and invisible God, we come to you with thanksgiving and praise today for your goodness and grace. We have been so blessed by you along life's way. You watch over us and never desert us. You hear our prayers and faithfully answer them. Ultimately, you gave us a Savior who went to the cross to pay for our sins. And then you raised him up from the grave and promised forgiveness and eternal life for all who place their trust in Christ. Lord, you have loved us with an amazing, everlasting love. We thank you for loving us. Amen.
name, Lord of all, we bow before thee. All on earth thy scepter own, all in heaven above adore thee. Infinite thy vast domain, everlasting is thy reign. Spare thy people, Lord, we pray, by a thousand snares surrounded. Keep us free from sin today, and never let us be confounded. All my trust I place in thee, never, Lord, abandon me. Cherubim and seraphim, one unceasing chorus raising, ever sing with sweet accord, holy, holy, holy Lord, holy, holy, holy.
Dear friends, so do you know what the most powerful muscle in your body is? Well, in the New Testament, in a little book called the Book of James, which talks a lot about a practical living out of the faith, we find in chapter 3 an answer to that question. James, who is a teacher in the church, writes to those who are eager to become leaders, "Not many of you should presume to be teachers, my brothers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. If anyone is never at fault in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to keep his whole body in check. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds and reptiles and creatures of the sea are being tamed and have been tamed by man. But no man can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water." There you have it, from James. What's the most powerful muscle in your body? It's the tongue, that which we use for our communication. James points out today to us that it is as powerful as a rudder that controls a great ship, or a small bit that controls a horse, or a small spark that can set a forest ablaze. In the Old Testament, the writer of Proverbs points out in 18 verse 21, death and life are in the power of the tongue. It is a powerful, powerful muscle that God has given us. And James points out that how we use it matters to God, especially how we use it as he addresses those of us who are followers of Jesus Christ, because that's who this letter is addressed to. How we talk to one another and about one another matters to God. Your speech appears to be a mixed blessing, according to James. With it, you can bless the Lord and Father, and with it, we can curse those who are made in the likeness of God. It's true, with this tongue of ours, we can do some very good things. We can praise God, tell him how wonderful he is, sing his praises, talk to him. We can also use that tongue to build someone up with positive encouragement, or helping comfort someone by saying, I love you and I'm for you. Or we can be of help to someone as we share with them the truth. For instance, for us, it would be the truth of Jesus Christ. What a great thing it is when we share that truth, not only with one another, but with the world around us. Again, the writer of Proverbs says, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in a setting of silver. And in another place, he says, pleasant words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the body. So we can do some wonderful things with this tongue that God has given us. But James goes to great lengths to point out to us how destructive that tongue can be as well. As he describes a lit match in a dry forest, it turns into an out-of-control, deadly fire. We've all seen the deadly force of the tongue in the power of put-downs, for instance, or berating others, saying things like, you are so stupid, or you'll never amount to anything, or you can't ever do anything right, can you? Those kinds of things are hurtful to others. We've seen how the tongue can ruin a reputation. As we do character assassination of others, we see the effects of gossiping about people and how it can really destroy a person's reputation. I'm reminded of a story I heard a long time ago about a man who said something about his neighbor that was untrue. The word spread around his village as one person told another, but soon the truth came out, and the man felt remorseful for what he had said, and he didn't know what to do. So he went to the village priest, and the priest gave him some strange instructions. He said, take a bag full of feathers and place one feather on the doorstep of each person who heard the untrue story you told. Then go back a day later, pick up the feathers, and then bring the bag back to me. So the man did as the priest said, but when he went back to pick up the feathers, well, as you'd guess, nearly all of them were gone. When he went back to the priest, he said, I did as you said, but when I went back, the wind had blown the feathers away, and I could not get them back. The priest replied, so it is with your careless words, my son. Once they are spoken, they cannot be taken back. You may ask forgiveness for what you said, but you can't always take your words back. The damage has already been done. Oh, how much damage has been done in the field of politics and in other areas of public life as reputations are assassinated by unkind words. Our tongue has a way of treating others disrespectfully as well. Some people have picked up the bad habit of profanity, and it's a degrading way of communicating with other people. It basically tells them, I don't even think you're worth being careful with the use of my words. And it can be a real put down. And finally, the tongue can be used to lead someone astray with inaccuracies and half-truths. Remember, at the beginning of this little passage I read, James is talking to those who are wanting to be leaders or teachers in the church. He says, we can't have people running around that are telling half-truths in the church. And so, because it'll lead others astray and ruin their lives. So we see the destructive nature of the tongue in these examples. And James goes on to say, and furthermore, he says, this tongue of ours is tough to tame. In fact, he goes so far to say, no man can tame the tongue. And then he points out of the same Christian's mouth comes blessings and curses. And then he stops and he says, this must not be so. And then he points out the contradiction. If this is going on in one's life, he says, can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? You see, lies and inaccuracies and profanity and gossip and berating words are inconsistent with who we are in Jesus Christ, James is saying. It's an absolute contradiction of who we belong to in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, earlier on in that letter, James takes out again on this subject of the tongue, and he writes in chapter 1, verse 26, if anyone considers himself religious but does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself and his religion is worthless. That tongue of ours needs to be reined in. It needs a bridle, he is saying, as followers of Jesus Christ. Just a side thought. You know, if James were writing today, he'd probably be talking also about texting and emailing. How easy it is to be mean with our words with this communication tool that is available to us today. I have just been reading a little story about a Highland Park, Illinois girl, now a senior in high school. She said that as an eighth grader, she was the subject of an online rumor that she had slept with the football team. I think it started by the ex-girlfriend of a boy on the team, she said, but it didn't matter where it came from. People just want to believe it, and there was no way to refute it, and I wanted to kill myself. And we've seen kids that have actually killed themselves over the hurt that has happened through texting and emailing. It's a tough thing to tame this tongue of ours. It can be used to praise God and build someone up, but it can also do some rather deadly things in another person's life. So the question becomes, how can we control our communication, our speech, and use it instead to be a blessing instead of a curse? There's another verse in James which I think is helpful for us as we consider this question. It's in the first chapter of James, verse 19, where he writes, everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger. First of all, be quick to listen. Someone once said, God gave us two ears and one mouth for a good reason. It's important that we learn to be good listeners, ask good questions, and be willing to sit silently and listen to what the other person is saying. Listening can be hard for us to do, especially when we are threatened by what the other individual might be saying. It might be a view that is different from my own. Sometimes our defenses and our angers get moving so fast that our ears cease to function, and suddenly those words are out there, out of our mouth, before we can even catch them, and the harm has been done. listening is important. But this is where being slow to anger comes into the picture. What is it that causes this anger sometimes to arise in us? Anger can be a precarious passion that we have, and it's in all of us. After all, we're created in the image of God, and sometimes we read God gets angry. Well, sometimes our anger is caused by ego and pride, when we feel threatened or put down ourselves. Dr. Bill Hume, a Lutheran pastor and a pastoral care professor, wrote years ago, "Anger is also a secondary passion, being a reaction to our own hidden fears or hurts or guilt. And sometimes we just lash out when those get touched upon. Sometimes," he says, "we need to just call a time out when we feel ourselves having anger set in and retire to a safe place and maybe let out our feelings on a piece of furniture or on a pillow or even better yet, to God in a prayer." It's important that we are slow to anger. Notice he never doesn't say never anger. He says be slow to anger. And finally he says, be slow to speak. There are some questions that I found helpful to ask myself when I sometimes am speaking with people. Number one, is what I'm saying true? Really true? As a pastor who preaches each week, I always have to be asking myself, is what I'm preaching here true to Scripture? Another thing is it necessary? Is this information I'm passing along really necessary for the other person to hear? And is it beneficial? Is it going to help them? And another question, do I have permission to share it? Or am I breaking a confidence? And finally, what is my motivation? Is it pure in sharing this information? I think these are great questions to ask to keep us slow to speak. I would also commend looking at your heart. This could very well be a heart issue because Jesus one time said, out of the mouth comes things that are kind of from the heart, the ugly stuff, impure things. Then the mouth speaks what's in the heart. And so we need to ask ourselves, how is my heart these days? We know that it's important that we watch over our hearts and guard it with all diligence, for from it flows the springs of life. What are you putting in that old heart of yours, that control center of your life these days? What are you putting into that mind of yours? What kind of language, what kind of thoughts are being put into your heart? Finally, the last thing, and the most important perhaps of all, is prayer. To control that tongue of ours, pray. Pray that the Lord would stand guard over your mouth and keep watch over the door of your lips. But also pray for the power of the Holy Spirit to be at work in you. For we who have been following Jesus Christ, who have entrusted our lives to his care, have also been breathed into by the Holy Spirit. And God wants to give us the fruit of the Spirit, which includes love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and gentleness and faithfulness and self-control. He's eager to answer a prayer that asks for those sorts of things. So all of these things can be very helpful in turning us into people that are known for our speech that is loving and kind. It can help us to be a blessing to other individuals. For in Christ you have been blessed to be a blessing, both with your actions and with your words. May the Lord take care of you and help you as you work with your tongue. Amen.
Just a closer walk with thee, granted, Jesus is my plea.
Thou art strong. Jesus, keep me from all wrong. I'll be satisfied as long as I walk. Let me walk close to Thee.
Just a closer walk with Thee. Grant it, Jesus, is my plea. Daily walking close to Thee. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be.
I think we need to pray. Would you join me? Lord, you gave us these wonderful tongues to praise you and testify for you and to build others up with encouragement and wisdom. By the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord, help us to speak words and messages that please you and help others. We need your help in this. So in the name of Jesus, we ask it. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We pray today's message will encourage you to be more loving and kind with your words. Jesus can use each of us to be a blessing to others, both with our actions and our words. Christian Crusaders has been blessed to be an on-air blessing to others for more than 75 years. This has been made possible through the work of the Holy Spirit and the faithful gifts of our listening audience. If you have been blessed by the message today and are in a position to do so, we ask that you help support this ministry with your prayers and financial support. All gifts are tax deductible. Please address your gifts to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. Or you can donate online at our secure website, ChristianCrusaders.org. That's ChristianCrusaders, all one word, .org. Today's program is also available to be heard or read on the Internet. Please visit our website anytime at ChristianCrusaders.org. If you'd like to receive a printed copy of the message or a CD of the program, please write to us at Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 277-0924. We are pleased you chose to worship with us today and pray that you can join us again next Sunday on this station. Conducting our service was the Reverend Steve Kramer, Senior Pastor of Shepherd of the Valley Lutheran Church in Afton, Minnesota, and Associate Speaker on Christian Crusaders, now in its 77th year of continuous Sunday worship broadcasting.